This is Counterculture with Marie Buskey, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. on Reality Check Radio.
Welcome along to Counterculture here on Reality Check Radio with Marie. Joining me now, fellow host, Speak Free, Simon O'Connor. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Marie. How are you?
I'm good. I am good. It's been a busy old time, and I wanted to catch up with you because I've just had young Ali Whittaker on from the New Zealand Centre for Bioethical Reform, and we've been talking about the work that they're doing in regards to abortion education. And I thought I would get you on because we talked about the law, the 2020 Abortion Legislation Act, which of course you were in the House at the time when this passed.
I was. A terrible time on a whole lot of levels.
So first thing is, this is a really big question. What does it really mean to be pro-choice?
First and foremost, if listeners don't know, I'm unapologetically pro-life. So I oppose abortion, not particularly happy with euthanasia, don't support the death penalty and all of that. So just very quickly laying my cards on the table. But I mean, to be pro-choice in the modern New Zealand legal environment is to accept that abortion can happen from a few weeks in right through to the end of pregnancy. That's one element which I don't think a lot of people seem to understand, is that New Zealand law now allows abortion right up to birth. And if you wanted to really get into some of the ugly depths of it, we actually have situations where babies are born alive through botched abortions. That's normally when the chemicals are used rather than, without being too graphic, the baby's dissected. The babies are left to die. So it's pretty gruesome to someone like myself who thinks actually from conception we have a human being developing and therefore has human rights. But yeah, the modern New Zealand law allows abortion right up to birth.
So 2020, they rushed this through under urgency because of the first lockdown. You're in the House, so it's all hands to the pump because they jammed a whole bunch of stuff through, including the legislation for the lockdowns. Why? What was the urgency? This is what I don't understand. Why did it have to go through then?
Look, I don't fully understand it either, because actually I don't think it was urgent. I mean, even if someone is, if you will, pro-abortion or pro-choice, whatever they want to say, you know, abortion was still available in New Zealand. There were more and more restrictions the more weeks into a pregnancy, but there was no crisis. There was nothing that had to be solved overnight. But I think two things were at least in play. One is just a very strong ideology, and Jacinda Ardern, as the then Prime Minister, a number of her supporters are very much committed to abortion. And so this ideological drive that it just had to be changed. And you're sort of seeing it in some ways, Marie, in America at the moment. I mean, you've got an election that's based around abortion rights. It's like, really, of all the things happening in the world at the moment, that's the topic. But that same ideology, that same drive was in play. But I think the second element was, it was convenient, because you touched on it. This was just before the lockdown. So we were already seeing at that time other parts of the world, well, this virus spreading, countries beginning to react, locking down, deaths, all of that happening. So it seemed to me it was a great distraction. And so to, in some ways, take this deeply divisive and ethical issue and quickly slide it under the radar, because most people were understandably focused on this global health issue that was developing. And today, people are still surprised when I tell them, look, this is when the abortion law changed, literally in the days and weeks prior to New Zealand being locked down.
Yeah, I know. When I found out, I was utterly appalled that they had done that. And it was also the beginnings, I think, of seeing some of that totalitarian type control, from my perspective, starting to creep in. So you're in the House. As I said, all hands to the pump. You're there. This is getting pushed through. Ali indicated that there were some amendments that some of your colleagues tried to sort of put out to actually add a little bit more nuance to this law, but it was stoutly opposed by the coalition at the time. What was that like being in the House, and who were some of the people speaking up to try and at least get some balance with this change?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a terrible time. I said, not only what was happening, if you will, globally, but, you know, this particular law, it won't surprise listeners that, you know, if you're someone like myself, look, people on any ethical issue, actually, by the way, will always feel things quite strongly. So there were a number of us saying, actually, first and foremost, you shouldn't be putting this law through now. There's a few other things we should be focusing on. But it was also very clear that the government at the time, and again, Jacinda had sort of put her personal stamp on it, which restricted, I would argue, pretty much all of her Labour colleagues from actually acting freely, because who's going to go against their very then popular leader? But even for those of like myself who were opposed, went, okay, well, let's put some amendments in. So my one in particular was that babies born alive should be given medical care. That was voted down. And again, just for listeners to ponder that for a moment, because so much of the pro-choice arguments, Marie, is, oh, look, until the baby's born, it's not human. Well, okay, it's now born. It's separate from the mum. That argument goes out the window. It's viable. The baby's viable. But we know in New Zealand, and it does happen, I need to really emphasise that, the baby's normally just put in a little bit of a kidney dish and put to the side just to basically die. Even for me to think about it is disturbing. But anyway, that was voted down. I think Agnes Loheny, another National MP, very strong pro-life woman, had one around that actually at a certain area of gestational, time of gestation, sorry, that actually anaesthesia should be given, because we do know in the later stages of pregnancy, the baby can feel pain. That was voted down. So there were a number of amendments in that space, but you just sort of got to imagine Jacinda and the government just basically, we're just going to get this through by hell or high water. And they just did. So they just, basically, if someone like myself put up an amendment, it was to be shot down. If it was not pro-abortion or wasn't pushing the boat out even further, it was to be voted down.
So then that begs the question, in light of when the legislation was pushed through, surely retrospectively, is there a political appetite from any party to relook at this issue? And actually, I mean, I think it would probably be too much of a leap to expect, obviously, a full reversal, but at least open it back up for discussion and look at some of these amendments and tidy things up a little bit from what is really, I think, just draconian.
Very unhuman for me. I mean, obviously, someone like myself, as I said at the start, very much pro-life, so don't like abortion, period, but can also have a very pragmatic side to say, yep, if we could just make it a little bit better, let's do that. I think the sad answer is no. There is no appetite whatsoever, and for at least three very quick reasons. One is MPs in general hate these ethical issues. The moment you mention abortion, drugs, prostitution, marriage, any of these ethical issues, most MPs freak out because it, A, requires a lot of thought, and B, you can't hide behind your political party anymore. You have to exercise your own vote, your own conscience, and MPs generally don't like that. And to be fair, they're busy. Secondly, you've got a media, mainstream media, who will not tolerate any discussion into this space unless it's hardcore ideologically driven abortion in all circumstances. And a good quick illustration of that, Marie, was during the debate, my colleague Hariti Hapango, a lawyer who can read the law, mentioned that in black and white it says abortion is now going to be legal to birth. She was beaten to a pulp by the government and the media at the time of being a liar, which she wasn't. I mean, it was there in black and white. You know, abortion is now legal to birth. But, you know, the media were just happy to misconstrue things. But the third is, and unfortunately, and this comes down to Chris Luxon, he has said wrongly that if there's any change, any minute change, like even changing reporting requirements on abortion, such as, you know, are children being aborted because of their sex? We know there are some cultures that don't like girls, for example. He has said any change, he will resign. So he's backed himself by his own words into a corner. And so we're in the unfortunate position that nothing can happen because he's decided wrongly to put his premiership on the line based on that. So nothing can change, which is, I think, quite tragic, literally, for those babies.
It's really interesting in terms of those moral and ethical stances, particularly from someone like him who actually, I think he still openly refers to himself as a Christian. I would have thought as a Christian, you would at least want to never want to paint yourself into a corner and want to be at least open to discussion and debate in the chamber on this and allow conscience to play out.
Yeah, I mean, two things. I don't think we should ever be afraid of ethical issues. In fact, it's the paradox is that the more difficult a topic is, the more we should talk about it. And so for myself, I don't mind debating any of these issues because you do learn, particularly for people who have different viewpoints. But also, you know, putting on a theological hat, Christianity isn't just about this personal feel-good self-improvement. It's actually about doing good things. You know, your fruits, by your fruits, you'll know them. And actually, there is a call to bring about change, or at the very least, to have some sort of discussion. So my challenge to Luxon and the rest of them is to, actually do something. But again, he's boxed himself in by the moment he said, I'll resign, in order to try and protect himself politically from woke media and others. He boxed himself in, but I hope he would find more courage than that.
Yeah, well, he is a shiver looking for a spine from time to time. So, you know, it is always a battle. Well, one of the, when we were talking numbers with Ali, 28% of all pregnancies are terminated. And that's even before we get into the miscarriage. That I found astonishing. So I compared that, the number of terminations, that's a percentage between the number of terminations and live births in this country. Now, we've got the lowest birth rate that we've ever had, 1.5 live births. I think it's 1.51 or 1.53 live births per woman in New Zealand. I mean, we are going backwards at a rapid rate of knots. We can't continue to import hot bodies on the ground to keep the country going. The stigmatization around having a child out of wedlock has now gone. Why can't adoption be placed back on the table? Infertility is on the rise. Surely there must be another solution to this problem.
Well, I think part of the solution is just going back to basics. It's understanding it's a human life, and actually a whole lot of decisions will come from that. I mean, there's no shortage of groups to support these, often but not always, young women. And I think that's the really important thing for me personally, because I've dealt with a lot of people seeking abortion or who have had them. You can hold a moral point of view quite objectively, but actually you always have to act, I don't know, I was going to say kindness, but I hate that word because of a certain prime minister. But we need to act pastorally and with care and empathy. So there's no shortage of groups to help people and provide that support. But I think it really is just getting a deeper understanding back into the mindset that actually in a country that obsesses with human rights, why are we not giving rights to the unborn child, the most vulnerable? And that could bring about some change over time. But, you know, until then, you're just going to see it get more and more excessive, which is why what you're seeing, again, in America, it's getting more and more crazy.
Polarized, yeah.
Polarized, but also they've got to keep pushing it. Once you say abortion's okay, you've just got to keep pushing the absurdity further and further and further. And so it's happening later and later. You've now got even those saying, well, actually, in some minutes after birth, it can continue if they want, not just because the baby's unwanted. It's just, it's ugly and messy. So look, hopefully we can bring about some change of mindset there. But look, adoption, look, I'm adopted. That's part of my background. We can chat on that another time if people wanted. But, you know, adoption's by and large a good thing, but it's been stigmatized. Unfortunately, very much stigmatized. And you really touched on another important point. We have so few births in New Zealand, we're having to import people in. And when we find some of the cultural or multicultural tensions in New Zealand, it's not that it all links back to abortion in any way, but actually we as individuals are making decisions which are having wider societal impacts.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that there is a shredding of the cohesion of the fabric of our society through all of these different things. And it's fragile. And we've got to protect it. Now, before we go, speaking of people that likes to shred the fabric of social cohesion, why do you think Madam chose to get her damehood in London and not here at home?
Oh, look, the royal family are the biggest celebrities in the world. You've got celebrities and then you've got the royal family. And so she wanted that exposure. It helps her quite practically. It's more novel. I mean, the Governor General in Government House is pretty cool. But, you know, to be in, I suspect, Buckingham Palace and Prince William, there's the cachet, there's a kudos. It's almost great marketing in a way. It's just far more dramatic. And we've seen that particularly with international media, a little bit in New Zealand media. Well, actually not a little bit. Mainstream media here, of course, celebrating her. All about the kindness that she wants to spread around the world. I've pointed out to others, isn't it remarkable for a woman who's destroyed the country on so many levels, economic, moral, socially, has basically left New Zealand. But talking up a storm around the world for people who just don't understand. But yeah, long and short, it's picking up the cachet of the royal family. That's why she did it.
Oh, it's good to know who malignant narcissism is alive and well, Simon, isn't it? Hey, look, I do appreciate this time this morning and good for a catch up. Yeah, we do need to talk about the adoption thing maybe. I park that conversation on rain check for a later date, so I do appreciate that. Good. Of course, this is Simon O'Connor from Speak Free, and this week you're busy. You're down sitting in Bidiwa and doing all sorts of things. You're down in the Q-Town.
I am loving it down here. I mean, Queenstown's beautiful in its own right, but great to be in the studio here. It's an amazing setup. I'm just making sure I don't hit too many of these buttons.
We'll have lots of fun and give producer Dave a big cuddle for me. Thanks very much. This is Simon O'Connor. Take care. And more here to come with Counterculture on Reality Check Radio. Thanks, Simon.
From caps to tees and bags to bumper stickers, we have you covered. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.